Streaming and serving out of Fayetteville, Georgia, you are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe. Let's check out today's message.
So I wanted y'all to see that because I want you to understand that we do serve a global God. And this God cares not just about what's going on in America, but this is where we are. So he cares about you, he cares about us. But God also cares about the rest of the world too. And because it's important to God, it should be important to us, right? And so I want you to understand this quote from John Stott, that we must be a global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. That God cares about the whole world. We sing that song as we're growing up, right? He's got the whole world in his hands, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. And he's also got you in his hands. But we live in America where everything is so egocentric. It's all about me. It's about me. It's about me. You know, what about me? And we get so focused on me that we forget that God, Jesus, died for everyone, not just you. And sometimes we can get so focused on ourselves that we forget about everybody else. And we need to remember, and this is why we take a whole month to be focused on missions, that we want everyone to understand that you are a missionary, that you are a person that can do something about what's going on around the world. You might not be able to give money, but you can pray. And I don't know anybody who can't pray. So you can pray, you can do something about what's going on in the world. And by the way, let me remind you that prayer is powerful. You know, so, listen, your dollar don't go as far as it used to. But your prayer can go as far as it always has been able to, amen? So let me encourage you, right? I know you're trying to stretch your dollar, stretch your prayer, right? And send it somewhere else. Send it to another country. Pray for the things and the needs around the world. You see, Pat Marley said this, if the Great Commission is true, our plans are not too big, they're too small. That if we have a God who's got the whole world in his hands, why are we so small-minded? Why are we so just focused on, you know, well, what's in it for me and how is this going to affect me? That we need to realize that maybe what God has given you isn't for you. Maybe God is just using you as a conduit to bless someone else. That maybe God has given you more time or more freedom or more whatever so that you can be a blessing to others. And by the way, our word this year is more. So let me ask you, are you more focused on things around the world than you have been before? Are you spending more time in prayer? Are you perhaps giving more to the world and the causes of God around the world? You see, the fact that God cares for the 8 billion people in the world is why there are 8 billion reasons that God has left the church in the world. God cares about the world. And because God cares, we should care. Because God cares, he has left his church. And by the way, if you are a believing, professing follower of Jesus Christ, you are part of that church. And God has a plan and a mission for you as part of his church. And that is to affect the world around us. To not just isolate or insulate ourselves in our rooms, in our cocoons, just watching TV, Netflix, you know, we're just chilling, right? No. It's what does God want me to do with the time that he has given me? And by the way, your time is running out. The older I get, the faster I realize how those days are just peeling off. Those pages on the calendars peeling off. Can you believe it's our? I mean, we're halfway through March, and it was just like yesterday was New Year's Day. The older we get, the faster time goes, and let me tell you, it's not going to slow down. Time waits for no one. Some of you are waiting. Oh, I'll get around to it. Man, how many times have I said this? I've been the pastor here for almost 7 years, and y'all remember back in that day, I gave y'all a small little round cutout, right? Yeah, and it had "to it" written on it. It was around to it. Because some of y'all are like, well, I'll get around to it. And I gave you a round to it so you could get to it. Right? And so the problem is that some of y'all still waiting. I'm going to get around to it. One day I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to get my passport. One day I'm going to go. One day I'm going to give. One day I'm going to serve. Well, when's that one day coming? Because you're running out of time. It's like the sands in the hourglass are the days of our lives. Right? And unfortunately, some of us are watching those pieces of sand just drip and we're doing nothing. What I want you to understand this morning, several things, is that Jesus was the ultimate missionary. That Jesus saw a need and he moved to meet that need. He was in heaven and he saw our plight. And he said, you know, I'm not just going to stand up here and tell people I love them. You know, you can go online, you can tell people you love them. And that's a good thing. But you know, it's much better when you show up in person. It's much better when you're there face to face. You know, there are people around the world, and when I go places, I tell them, I'm like, listen, y'all, we got a church back at home that's praying for y'all. Don't make me a liar. Pray. Pray for the people in India. Pray for the people in El Salvador. Pray for the people in Honduras. Pray for the people in Kenya. You know, these are all people and places that we go that we're serving. I talked to my friend Randall yesterday about Lebanon. We're looking to go there a year from now. By the way, if you want to go, get your stuff together. We're going to Lebanon next March. So the thing is this, I ain't slowing down. I don't know about you, right? But I got to keep up with how quickly these pages are flipping. You slow down, you know what happens when you stop? You stop. A lot of people, you know, so Jesus saw a need and he moved to meet that need. You see, Jesus saw a need and he had compassion and he said, you know what? I'm not just going to tell people I care. I'm actually going to show up. I'm actually going to be there. I'm actually going to walk with them. I'm going to be among them. I'm not just going to tell them I love them. I'm going to show them I love them. You know, y'all remember in school back in the day, we used to have show and tell, right? And it was one thing, you know, you could be in your class talking to all your friends, you know, I got this, I got this, I got this. And people are like, well, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Right? And there's so many people saying, oh, I got Jesus, but I don't see it. You're telling me, but show me. What's the show me state? What is that, Missouri? Missouri, right? The show me state, right? I think it's funny. They're like, yeah, show me something. And I think we got a lot of people in our culture and society that are saying, yeah, I hear, I've been to church, I've heard all these things 1,000 times. Show me something. See, Jesus was willing to go. We just sang that song, here I am, I'm available. Some of y'all can't say that. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to go to another country. I'm not saying that. We got people right next door that need us. I mean, if you didn't know this, I mean, over in Riverdale, they got a temple. They got a temple, Hindu temple up there. We got stuff like that all around us. We got tons of religions all around us. If you don't think we live in a pluralistic society, then you've got your eyes closed. Christianity is not growing leaps and bounds. And I want to say that it's not growing leaps and bounds because God's people are not growing leaps and bounds. That we're not growing. We're not moving. We've become content just where we are. You see, Jesus surrendered his will to save many. And we're going to have to do the same thing if we're going to see many people saved. We don't do the saving. It's Jesus who saves. But we are the ones who've got to deliver the message. We're the ones that have to compel people to say, yes, there is a Savior. There is a God who loves you. The most famous verse of all time, y'all know it, John 3:16. I was going to share some of this message last week, but then I realized that yesterday was 3:16 and today is 3:17. So we're going to talk about John 3:16 and 17 today. See how funny God is? It all ties together. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:17 tells us that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. The whole reason Jesus came was because he was a missionary and he wanted people to be saved. Jesus came to this world that he might demonstrate his love according to Romans 5:8. That God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, and by the way, you still are. You're still a sinner, which means you still need Jesus. And it doesn't matter how good you think you are, you still need Jesus. I grew up a pretty good kid. I didn't get in a lot of trouble when I was a kid, but you know what? I still need Jesus. And sometimes, right, Jesus needs to save us from our goodness. Because you think you got enough good to get you there. You ain't got enough good to get you there. It's only through the righteousness of what Jesus has done for us that any of us can get to heaven. Why has he left us here? He's left us here because there are 8 billion people in the world that need Jesus. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of people who need to know about this God. He has left us here not because he's cruel or mean. You know, how many times have we said, oh, I just want the Lord to come back. Just can't wait for the Lord to come back. I've been guilty of saying that too. Come back even today, Jesus. Right? And the reason we're saying that is because we're selfish. Oh, you know, I just don't want to deal with this person anymore. I'm tired of these problems. Just, you know, Lord, come on back. Take me. But listen, the Lord may not have come back yet because there are still 8 billion people who need to know him. And he left you here so that they might know him better. The Lord is not slack or slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But he's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That God has left his church here as missionaries. He's left us here as people who are ambassadors who can go and proclaim his name among the nations. He's left us here again so that none would perish, but that all could have eternal life. So I want to give you some of the greatest things about this message this morning from John 3:16. And the first is this, is that we have the greatest love. That God has demonstrated the greatest love that anyone could ever understand. In February, you know, we celebrate Valentine's Day, and we're all about love, you know, talking about love, and there were actually billions of dollars spent on Valentine's. One day spent to celebrate love. And, you know, I was talking to some people about this the other day, and used to, back at maybe in the 70s and stuff like that, you know, there was all this talk about love, 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 love. And I think that at one point there was maybe more people who could identify with that, and certainly more so than today. I think that today the thing that people relate to more than love is pain. I think that everyone today understands what it means to be hurt, to be hurt by church, be hurt by family, to be hurt by other people that you know, your friends, the people that you thought were always going to have your back, ends up stabbing you in the back. If there's anything that people can identify today with, it's pain, it's suffering, it's hurt. And so when we talk about love, it's really hard for people to understand the greatest love because they don't understand what it means to be loved or to have love in their lives. And this is why the message of Jesus is so important, because we have a God. You show me any other religion, show me any other God where their God has come and died for them. There's not one. You show me any other God who went through and suffered the things that Jesus Christ suffered for us. There's not one. Muhammad didn't suffer for us. Buddha hasn't suffered for us. Gandhi didn't suffer for us. Show me any other religion where their Savior died for them. You won't find one. This is what makes Christianity so unique, so different. There is no other God who suffered to demonstrate love. And this is why I can say it's the greatest love. Because Jesus Christ, out of his love for us, even as I've already said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That while he was on the cross, he prayed a prayer for you and me, and he said, Father, forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. They don't realize that they are crucifying their Creator. They don't realize that they are crucifying the one who loves them more than anyone else could ever love them. And yet he willingly laid down his life for us. And this is the greatest love. There is no other love like God's love. And the thing is this, is that God doesn't just love, he is love. It's not that he just has these feelings toward us, which a lot of people want to equate love with your feelings. And let me just tell you, your feelings will lie to you. Okay? Some of y'all went to bed last night feeling like you were in love, and you woke up this morning feeling like you were going to throw up. Right? And this is what you got to understand, is your feelings will lie to you. Okay? So you don't make decisions based on your feelings. But so many people think, oh, you know, I'm in love, and you fall in love. And let me tell you, you fell in love, you can fall out of it. Don't think that falling in love is your answer. Love is a decision we make. Love is choosing to do what's best and right for the other person. It has nothing to do with feelings. Sure, you can have feelings that will come along because you made a decision to love. But you've got to understand this. Love is a choice. It's an action for the betterment of someone else. Some of y'all are like, oh, I like that definition. You know why you like it? Because you've been doing it. You just didn't know it. You see, every time you don't respond in the way that you feel like responding, well, you're loving. Every time you're patient, you're loving. Every time you choose to say something or not to say something, you're loving. It don't feel like love, but that's love. You see, we've tried to make love all about a feeling, and it's not about a feeling. Everybody says, oh, love is love. No, it's not. Love is not love. God is love. God is love. And everybody wants to make love God. Love is not God, but God is love. And what we need to understand is this, is that God has come to demonstrate his love, the greatest love. Look at 1 John 4, 7 through 10. Beloved, it's interesting. He's talking to his church. John is talking to the church, and he says, hey, you who are beloved, you who understand this love of God, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested, okay, and that word is made known toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That God loved us so much that he gave his only Son to die on the cross for us. Now listen, this is a love that we can't comprehend. This is a love that we don't fully understand. That God would give his only Son to die for us. What is missions about? Missions about sharing the love of God, or the God who is love, with a world that needs love. If there's anything this world needs, it needs an accurate picture of a God who loves them. So often, you know, people go to church and they're going to hear all kinds of messages. Some messages, preachers are preaching fire, hailstone, you know, hail, brimstone, all this kind of stuff. And listen, I believe in a hell. I believe that there's a place where there's eternal separation from God. I believe that. And this is one of the reasons why we preach the gospel, because I don't want anybody to go there. But then you have other preachers who are going to preach, and they're just going to talk about the love of God. Oh, how great God is, how much he just loves little old you. He loves you, he loves you, and he does love you. But I'm going to tell you this, that you've got to love God too. It's not just about God loving you. It's about you loving God. And there's a time when we have to make a decision and say, well, God, I'm going to love you more than I'm going to love anything else. That God, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to serve your purpose, your cause in this world. I'm not just going to come to church so I can feel good about me. I come to church so I can worship you. I come to church so I can glorify you. And I live my life so that others might see Christ in you. Right? And so God leaves us here as missionaries that the world might see that there is a God who loves them. And so the world needs to see that. But they won't see it, they won't understand it, unless you're willing to love them the way that God loves them. And loving people doesn't mean always being concerned about people's feelings. Sometimes, right, some of you, let's be honest, some of you don't say something because you're like, well, I don't want to upset the basket. I don't want to upset the family. Listen, you need to speak the truth. You need to tell people the truth. But let me tell you a phrase that I learned years ago about youth ministry. Josh McDowell said this. He said, rules without relationship equals rebellion. And if all you do is preach, 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 law, 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 telling people this, that, this, and you don't have a relationship, then you can expect people don't want to have anything. They don't care what you have to say. So it's important to develop a relationship and bring people to an understanding of who God really is. That there's not a God, according to 3:17, John 3:17, he's not looking to condemn the world, he's looking to save the world. But the way you get saved is by understanding the truth. And the truth of the matter is, you need a Savior. The truth of the matter is, you've offended God. The truth of the matter is that you can't do it yourself. That's the truth. But the loving thing for me to do is help you understand that God is not trying to send you to hell. By the way, God doesn't send people to hell. A lot of people are like, oh, God sends people to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. God has created a place where he does not exist, that people who do not choose him go there because they did not choose him. So, people choose to go to hell because they reject heaven. They reject the only way to heaven. They reject Jesus, who is heaven himself. So the loving thing that God does is he gives you free choice. He gives you free will. Today, you're hearing a message all about how God loves you, how he's made an opportunity for you to be saved, to know him, to live eternally. But this only happens when you make a decision to follow him. So it's the greatest love, which was demonstrated in the greatest sacrifice. You see, Jesus gave himself. And this morning, I'm not here trying to guilt you into anything. I'm not trying to twist your arm and make you make a decision. I'm trying to lay out the facts. The truth of the matter is this, is that if you do not confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're not part of his family. And people say this all the time. Oh, you know, we're all God's children. We're all part of God's family. No, we're not. The only people who are part of God's family are the people who've chosen Jesus. The only people who are part of God's family are the people who can truly call God Father, because Jesus is your brother. Everybody's not part of God's family. It's only the people who've chosen Jesus. And Jesus has made this possible by coming to the cross and dying on a cross and giving himself for us. And therefore, he's asking you to make a willful choice. Will you choose him as he has chosen you? You see, Jesus died for the entire world. But he understands this, only a few are going to choose him. Wide is the path to destruction, but narrow is the way to eternal life. At the last part of this verse, it says that God sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, let me give you a test. Some of y'all have been here for a while. I've defined this word many times. It's a big word, propitiation. What does it mean? Kinda. You get it. You get a C. You get a C. Okay, stand in. Kinda getting there. It's a combination of all those things, right? Propitiation is an acceptable, satisfying, atoning sacrifice. That when we talk about the propitiation of our sins, it means that it couldn't just be any sacrifice. It had to be a satisfying sacrifice. This is why the Old Testament, with all the killing of the animals and everything, it was never enough. Okay? There had to be a sacrifice that was given that would be once and for all. This is why we don't have to do sacrifices today. Aren't you glad? I mean, I'm so grateful we don't have to be grazing, right, sheep in my backyard. Right? Because I might take some goats to help with my lawn care. But you know, the thing is this, is that God made a way so that you don't have to be atoning for your sin all the time, day in, day out. That there was a sacrifice that was given for us that was once for all time. And it had to be an eternal sacrifice. Only God could satisfy God's wrath with an eternal sacrifice. This is why it had to be God himself, Jesus Christ, who is God, by the way, died for us. God gave himself for us. Romans 3:25 says this, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. There are some denominations nowadays that are taking the blood out of songs they sing. They think it's too graphic. How can it be too graphic, man? Come on. Your kids playing all these video games, they see blood all the time, all over the place. And trying to remove the blood from songs, from church, because it's too much. Let me tell you this. If it wasn't for the blood, we wouldn't have a chance. is Jesus' blood and his sacrifice that cleanses us from our sins. It says, by his blood we have a propitiation to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. You see, back in the days of the Old Testament, God was accepting those sacrifices as an atonement, right? It covered their sins. But when Jesus died and he shed his blood, it removed our sins. Right? I forgot to pay my trash bill while I was in India. I thought I had paid it, but I guess I forgot, because I came outside one day when I got back and my trash can was gone. I was like, man, they snuck up here and took that. I didn't even know. And so now I got trash piling up in my garage, and I'm just like, man, you know, I paid it to bring my trash can back. Right? They pick up on Wednesday. So I'm hoping my trash can is going to be back tomorrow. Because I don't want trash piling up in my garage. I want somebody who's going to come and take it away. Amen? And Jesus, he is the ultimate trash man. He comes and takes away all the garbage. But it's by his blood, right? It's by his blood. And listen, you don't have to make the payment. You don't have to make the payment. He's already made the payment. I just got to put the trash out there. Right? And when I put it out there, he cleans it up. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but look at this, but for the sins of the whole world. God, Jesus, died for the whole world. Not just for you and me. And this is a message that everybody needs to know. That the greatest sacrifice was for all 8 billion people. So we have the greatest love, we have the greatest sacrifice, but we also have the greatest life. The greatest life. There is a life that only Christians can know, and that is eternal life. In John chapter 10, verse number 10, and I'll get to this in a minute, but I'm going to jump ahead with this story. See, when I was a kid growing up, I didn't have the easiest life as a kid, as many of you have similar situations. But I remember when I was, I guess I was a senior in high school, and my grandmother, whom I had lived with, had committed suicide my senior year. So that happened in February of 1987. And I remember after that happened, my youth pastor came to have lunch with me at my school. And he was talking to me about working through some of these, you know, things that I was dealing with. And I remember, you know, quoting back to him, John 10:10, you know, I've come to have life and have life more abundantly. And I'm like, I don't know that I'm feeling that right now. I don't know that I'm getting this life more abundantly part right now. And you know, sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend with our situations and circumstances around us that we may feel like, you know, I don't know that this abundant life is all that people have promised me. And by the way, people are promising you things that are not true. People are going to say anything to you to get what they want. And there are a lot of churches that are preaching all kinds of things about prosperity. You know, you're going to have a great, great life if you just give more, you just do more. Listen, Jesus didn't promise that kind of thing to everyone. Jesus, in fact, said, if you follow me, life's going to get harder. He's like, even your family's going to turn their backs on you, some of them, because they're not going to believe like you believe. Jesus said some hard things. He said, take up your own cross and follow me. And at that time, in John chapter 6, verse 66, interesting, John 6:66, it says this, that at that time, many turned away and went back home. They stopped following him. When Jesus started saying hard things, people turned away. And this is why you got a lot of churches that aren't saying hard things. Because they realize, oh, if I don't tell people, their life's going to be good and they're going to have a great time and God's going to bless you and bless you and bless you. Listen, maybe blessing isn't what you think it is. Because even Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, isn't it funny how God defines blessing and blessed differently than we do? And so a lot of churches, a lot of people are preaching all kinds of things about, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be blessed. Well, I'm thinking, when I was a kid, man, I don't know, this don't feel like a blessed life. That life more abundantly, what is that exactly? And as I read when I was getting older, I think it was Charles Swindoll who was talking about this passage one time, and he said this, maybe the blessing, maybe the life more abundant is life more abundant with opportunities to see things differently. That maybe life is life more abundant is life more abundant with possibilities that you didn't foresee. That maybe life is more abundant with even struggles and problems. Because it's in the struggles and problems that we grow. You see, sometimes we're telling people, oh, you're going to have an abundant life, going to have an abundant life, and we are telling them the wrong things. Because I tell you this, if you choose to follow Jesus, it's not going to be easy. You choose to follow Jesus, and by the way, I've seen people around the world who have made those hard decisions. And when you follow, when you choose to follow Jesus as a Muslim, you better be prepared to die. You choose to follow Jesus as a Chinese person, you better be prepared to go underground to worship. You see, this life, eternal life, is something that's very different. When we start talking about following Jesus and eternal life, we're not talking about this, you know, just getting to be at one with yourself. You know, having this internal sense of happiness and joy. But we are talking about a life that is abundant with opportunities, possibilities, and even struggles. 1 John 5:11-13, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. That your life, and by the way, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're going to live eternally. You're going to be either with God or apart from God. You don't just cease to exist. Your atoms don't just fly back into the universe. You have a soul, and your soul will remain in one of two places, either with God or separated from God forever. And I did this when I was a kid. I'll challenge you to do it today. Go home and try to think about how long forever is. Lay on your bed and contemplate how long forever is. It's forever. Y'all saw that movie, Sandlot, right? Forever. It's a long time. And what you've got to understand is that you can have eternal life. God has made that promise that if you are in the Son and the Son is in you, according to this verse, then you can have eternal life. You see, anyone can become a Christian. Anyone can be a follower of God, but you've got to choose Him. And if you choose Him, He will give you a gift that you can't earn. You see, God wants us. Let that sink in for a second. That God wants you. That God doesn't just love you. God actually likes you. You see, sometimes y'all remember this, you know, when you're a kid, you say, oh, you know, your mom or dad says, oh, you know, I love you, I love you. You're like, oh, you have to. You have to. Right? And then it's like, well, I like you too. Right? You see, there's something about feeling like, okay, God is obligated to love me because He's love. God has to love. Well, let me tell you, God likes you too. He likes you too. He wants to spend time with you. And not just time on earth. He wants to spend eternity with you. There's only one qualification to becoming a follower of Jesus, and that's that we believe. And this belief will lead us to living differently, which is repentance. That when we choose Jesus, right, instead of going this way towards hell, we choose Jesus and we turn this way and now He's leading us to heaven, right? That's repentance. And it's done in an action of belief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And let me tell you, he's doing a pretty good job. Even for people who are followers of Jesus, listen, he's going to put up a fight for you. He doesn't want to lose you. Even the nominal Christians, even the people who just come to church and they don't do anything, listen, you're serving the kingdom of Satan by doing nothing. You just show up at church, just do your thing. Listen, that ain't hurting the kingdom of hell at all. But Jesus came to give you life, and life to the fullest. That you can experience true life. Something that has meaning and purpose. But you've got to be willing to give Him your all. We just sang that song, right? I give you my all. Some people are just holding back a little bit. I'll give you 90%, God. God wants 100%. He doesn't just want, you know, a fraction of your time on a Sunday. He wants your whole life. So what does that mean for us? Well, the greatest love, the greatest sacrifice, leads us to the greatest message, right? That we have the greatest message. That there is a God who has come to save you from yourself. That there is a God who loves you, and He loves you as you are, but He's not going to leave you as you are. So many people are like, oh yeah, I got saved years ago, but you know, not much changed. Well, then I would have to say, did you get saved? Because God didn't save you to keep you where you are. It's not just like you're just getting a ticket to go to heaven, you know, free of charge. No, it's like God saves you to change you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. And if nothing has become new in your life, then you need to scratch your head and say, well, I don't know if I'm a Christian. Because being a Christian means that you've got Christ in you. And if Christ is in you, there should be something different. And if you can't see a difference, and if others don't see a difference, you need to ask yourself a question. Did I just say some words? Did I just say some words? Romans 10:14-17. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him on whom they have never heard? You know, Al was sharing last week about this gentleman in India that said he'd never heard of who Jesus was. I was on the plane and I was talking to that guy, and he said, well, I'd never heard that Jesus was God. He said, I heard that Jesus was the Son of God, but I never heard that Jesus was God. Well, that changes the picture, doesn't it? Because if Jesus isn't God, then His sacrifice on the cross means nothing. It's just another man that died. But because Jesus is God, and because this God laid down His life for us, and because this God was able to raise Himself from the dead, what other God can do that? Y'all have seen my impression of Muhammad before. Y'all have seen my impression of Buddha before. Y'all have seen my impression. For those of you who haven't seen it, let me show you. This is my impression of all these other gods. They're still dead. But our God is alive, amen. Our God is alive. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I know some of y'all understand this verse, you just don't know you understand it. Because every time you do DoorDash, you're like, how beautiful is that car when it pulls up in my driveway? When that Domino's pizza showing up, how beautiful is that pizza, right? I didn't have to go out for it. It came to me. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. That's like when people are showing up and they're preaching a gospel of Jesus Christ that has hope, love, that has peace, has joy. That's a beautiful message that every other religion cannot preach. We're the only ones who can preach that. And so when people see us coming, they ought to be rejoicing. Oh, here come the Christians. Here come the Christians. Sadly, so many people are like, here come the Christians. Here come the Christians. And everybody's running from us. When people ought to be flocking to us because we are here to deliver something that nobody else can. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is why we do missions. It's because people can't just know about it. They've got to hear about it. And in hearing, they can make a decision. In hearing, their faith can grow. It's in hearing and seeing the gospel. Right? We go to demonstrate the gospel. We go to preach the gospel. We go to help other people understand what they do not know. Galatians 2:6-9. Look at what Paul says. And he says, and from those who seem to be influential, What they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. So what Paul is saying this, he's saying, listen, God entrusted the gospel to me, but it wasn't because he was influential. God entrusted the gospel to Peter, but it wasn't because he was just going to, you know, preach to a certain group of people. No, he goes on, he says this, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave me the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and to me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So what Paul is saying here is that you have your own group of people that God has entrusted the gospel to you that you might share with them. That it's not about, oh, well, you're called to go to those people and you're called to go to those people. It's not me. Well, are you going to the people God's called you to go to? Some of you are like, you know, Johnny, like, I'm never going back to India. Be careful, Johnny. But you know what? Johnny doesn't have to go because there are others who are going. Johnny needs to go where God wants him to go. And the same thing is true for each and every one of you. That you don't need a passport to go everywhere that God is calling you to go. And so if God is a God of missions, then all of his followers are missionaries. That today, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are a missionary. And it's essential to remember that the Great Commission is also the Great Command. That when Jesus, the last words that he spoke to his disciples before he ascended was this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That you are to be a person who is a missionary. That you need to understand that God has not only given you this commission, he's given you this command. And as faithful followers of Christ, we cannot ignore that Christ has told us to make disciples of all nations. And failure to do so is an act of disobedience. That if we say, oh, that's somebody else, let somebody else do it, then you're ignoring Jesus' last command. Because that command was given to all followers. So this morning, what is God saying to you? Band, if you guys want to come on up. What is God saying to you? Some people may say, not called. This is from William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. Are you willing to do what God is calling you to do? Are you willing to serve where God wants you to serve? Are you willing to take this message that God has entrusted to you, the greatest love, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest message that's ever been told? God has entrusted that to you, to me, that we might be people who would share that message with those around us who are perishing. This morning, there is a God who loves you, and he does want that relationship with you. It starts there. He paid a price for you, and he wants the very best for you. And I know sometimes people are saying, oh, you know, I just don't know if I can trust this God. Listen, this God is trustworthy. There are lots of people in this room who could tell you without a doubt God has never failed us. He's never faulted on a promise. And if God can save me, God can save you. Doesn't matter. Listen, there are people in this room that their stories would astound you. Their stories of hardship and sin in their lives in the past would just amaze you. How in the world could God save that kind of person? Listen, they'll tell you, none of us deserve it. But God, out of His goodness, out of His grace, reached down and saved us from the worst. There are other people in this room who will say, well, I've been a good person. Listen, you still need Jesus. You still need Him. Even the Bible says Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call those who are sinners who know that they need a Savior. This is what kept all the Pharisees and Sadducees away from Jesus, because they thought they had it all together. And yet Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, came to Jesus at night and said, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus said, point blank, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. On the cross, Jesus was stretching out His arms, reaching out wide, beckoning all who would come to come and believe and receive. This morning, I don't know what God has said to you, but I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment and ask yourself this question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever put your trust completely in Him? Because if you haven't, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to make that choice. Now, of course, you could say, no, I'm not ready. I'm going to wait. And you can make that choice. But I want to encourage you. I want to urge you. Don't wait. Jesus has allowed you to hear this message today that you might know that there's a God who loves you, who gave Himself for you, so that you could experience purpose and meaning in life. And that if you would simply reach out and trust Him, He will reach out and take you just as you are. Today, if you've never given yourself to Jesus, why not right now, right there in your seat, pray something that just cries out to Jesus, Jesus, I know that You died for me. And today I've heard of Your great love, and that You came and did this just for me, so that if I put my faith and trust in You, that I could have everlasting life. And so today, to the best of my ability, I'm putting my life in Your hands. Change me. Make me one of Your own. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that has the Son has life. And now, if you're giving yourself to Him, He's giving Himself to you. In just a few moments, we're actually going to have a baptism. And I would encourage you that if you've never been baptized, or if you're making a decision today to follow Jesus, that would be your next step to say, yes, I want to take a step of obedience and showing the world my new found faith in Jesus Christ alone. Maybe you're here, and maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you understand now that God is calling you to maybe even take a step of greater faith. That God may be calling you to step into ministry, that God may be calling you to take a step of faith, to go and serve or to do something other than what you've been doing. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to take a step as well. And so, if God is calling you to serve in a unique way, to give yourself afresh and anew, to step into ministry, let me encourage you. Make that decision now and trust Him with your whole heart. Father God, you know the hearts of all the people in here, and You know what everyone needs to hear from You. And I pray in this moment that, God, everyone would hear Your voice and respond accordingly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, please visit our website at newvisionc.com and our socials at New Vision Church and NVC Next Gen. Just look for the round broken V logo, and we'll see you soon. God bless.